Okay, thank you, Mike. I think I will go ahead and take the opportunity and start introducing the cast member and give them a little bit of the credits up here as we get ourselves ready up here on stage. First gentleman I'd like to introduce to you, he's been at Fireside Theater for 45 years. In the movie Finding Nemo, he was starring Broadway in The Sound of Music. Please welcome Mr. Phil Proctor. This lady is best known having a running role at The World Turn, Caddy and Lacey, and many, many other TV shows. Please welcome Melinda Peterson. Those of you who love your science fiction, you will recognize this gentleman. He's been Star Trek Voyager, Quantum Leap, running role in Seinfeld. Please welcome Mr. Richard Hurd. This performer's career is legendary. The TV series Alice, running role in radio and TV in Meet Millie. You will have seen him in the great movie classic, It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. He was in the Hepburn and Tracy's movie, Adam's Rib. Please welcome Mr. Marvin Kaplan. This gentleman goes back to the 1930s. He was part of Orson Welles' Mercury Theater's group that did Julius Caesar. He was Alfred Hitchcock's right-hand man, directing Alfred Hitchcock Present. In the movie Starbound, he was also in this show 66 years ago, directed by Norman Corwin. Please welcome Mr. Norman Lloyd. This gentleman has been a director for The Young and the Restless, in radio out of New York, Cavalcade of America. But a lot of you probably grew up with him because he was the star of Bobby Benson. Welcome Mr. Ivan Curry. Yeah. This gentleman, you would know him in the star of Eight and Enough, in the classic TV series Mama, Happy Days, in radio, Theater Guild on the Air, and he had a running role at Duffy's Tavern. Welcome Mr. Dick Van Patten up there. This gentleman won the legendary Child Star of Radio out of Hollywood. He was discovered by Arch Ober. He was Junior in Life of Riley. He was Alexander in Blondie. He was Little Beaver, both in radio and film, and writer. Please welcome Mr. Tommy Cook. This lady was discovered and brought to Hollywood by Bing Crosby. She was Cornish Archer, and me Cornish Archer in radio for 10 years. If you see her in I Love Lucy, you best know her as the voice of Judy Judson in The Judson. Please welcome Miss Janet Waldo. Yeah. And I should introduce our co-director. He's been an actor in Beverly Hills 90210. He has his own film production company, directing his first movie, Daybreak. He also directed the Poet Laureate of Radio, a radio documentary by Norman Corwin. You can pick that up after the show. Expect my 10% for that, Michael. And, of course, he's working on a wonderful documentary called Radio Change of America. I'm going to turn the stage over to my buddy, Mr. Michael James Casey.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. We're very excited to be doing this show. It's one of Norman's favorite shows. It's one of his best shows. And I'd also like to say that a radio recreation of a radio drama is not complete without sound effects. And we have one of the very best in the business today, Tony Palermo. And Tony is being assisted today by his son, Niccolo. The next generation, this art form is, we are determined that it not die. Tony is more than just a sound effects artist. He is a radio dramatist, he is a director, a dramatist, an educator, and his work is heard regularly via NPR.
Tonight, 10 o'clock.
He's also heard with LA Theater Works, California Artist Radio Theater, and tours. And he also has a wonderful website. Everything you wanted to know about how to keep this art form alive, writing, directing, sound effects, music, it's called royasonic.com, Royasonic Radio Resources, Radio Drama Resources. I'd like to go ahead and ask my cast if they would please come up to the stage. And while they are taking their places, I would just like to mention something else about Norman Corwin. Have you heard of the National Archives, National Recording Registry, where they preserve historically significant pieces of music and sound? In 2004, there were 6 sound recordings selected, and they included Woodrow Wilson's Armistice Day speech, Lindbergh's return from Paris, Neil Armstrong's broadcast transmissions from the moon, MacArthur's Old Soldiers Never Die speech, Edward R. Murrow's broadcast during the Blitz from London, and something called We Hold These Truths by Norman Corwin. I would once again like to acknowledge and thank the writer and director of this program, 1945, the amazing and inspiring Norman Corwin. His love of language and wit is on full display in this particular program we're doing, The Undecided Molecule. It displays Norman Corwin at his best. It's a clever fantasy with meaning. Norman, we all love you and we thank you for a lifetime of meaningful words. Thank you. Mr. Corwin has prepared something for me to read, which will begin our show. So I've been asked to read this opening. This is a replay of a program that was broadcast originally over the CBS network on July 17, 1945. A program in a series called Columbia Presents Corwin. It starred Groucho Marx as a judge and was under the direction of the author. On May 3rd, Mr. Corwin observed his 101st birthday and has asked me to assist in directing this play. This play consists of rhymed couplets, which are pronounced by a varied cast. This production was not produced by Mr. Corwin, instead by Walden Hughes. The music was composed by Carmen Dragon and conducted by Lud Gluskin. And Mr. Corwin has petitioned me as co-director of the program to comment concerning the sound man, Tony Palermo, who has devised an instrument that automatically translates the testimony of the molecule whose intransience is the basis of this play. It is a great example of the art of the sound technician, and I congratulate both the holdout molecule and its author as geniuses in their own right. You're most welcome.
All right, places.
Lucky you. You have happened to dial this program in time to attend a trial, stranger than any since we first learned the knack of breathing, and that was a long time back. The poor folks listening to other stations will lose all this, but congratulations to you for being no such fool as to miss the undecided molecule. Columbia presents Corwin. This afternoon, Norman Corwin brings you The Undecided Molecule, a rhymed fantasy concerning dangerous developments among the elements, as disclosed by Phil Proctor, Richard Hurd, Dick Van Patten, Melinda Peterson, Norman Lloyd, Janet Waldo, Marvin Kaplan, Greg Berger, and Ivan Curry. The Undecided Molecule.
Oh dear, the cosmic alarm, which means I fear some woeful harm is a foot or a wing in the universe. Some deplorable thing, some act of curse, like a falling sky or a new star cluster being banged up by a cluster buster. Sounds to me like a dried up sea, or another ice age for a spell, or maybe it's only a freezing hell. On the other hand, it might possibly be that Hitler is alive and well. But after all, there's no point in guessing. If it rings again in a manner pressing, I'll answer the interstellar-a-phone. I wish they'd leave a fella alone. Why, only last eon, the... Hello? Hello? Yes? This is he. What? Who? What's that? Say that again? But where? But how? But why? But when? Individually and solely? Now, wait a minute. Take it slowly. It did? Oh, no. Oh, no, not that. Holy jumping Jehoshaphat. I'll call a session right away. You bet. Okay. Oh, grunt, oh, moan, oh, damn it. We are faced with the calamity. I must be cool as liquid air. Hold on. What's that? Who's pulling my hair? Oh, why, it is I. What am I scary at? Nonsense. I'll phone the secretariat. Oh, dear, I am in such a tizzy. The obvious rhyme. The line is busy. I'll try again. Now, there's no harm in trying. Oh, I'm dying. Egypt, dying. Hello? Say, this is the fifth VP in charge of physiochemistry. Now, listen here. An especially perky molecule has gone berserk. It has refused to be confined, incorporated, or assigned to anything. It simply sits with a calm expression, and it knits. Now, by all means, we must prevent such an utterly dangerous precedent. One holdout molecule, unpent, can cause the cosmos great ferment. We must arraign this beast and try it. The charge? Inciting particles to riot. Okay, arrange. I mean the twain. Oh, never mind. Just get it booked, or else the universe is cooked. Oh, me, oh, my. Goodbye, goodbye.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Court of Arbitrations and Adjudications of Physiochemical Relations, Department of the Interior of the Atom, Criminal Sitting, Division of Investigation, Charge, Countercharge, Accusation, and Confession, is now in session. The court will rise and face the justice who will adjust this case. See that your concentration centers on His Honor, the justice as he enters, which he is doing even now. Everybody bow, everybody bow.
To wit, contrary notwithstanding, you may sit. Clerk, read the charge.
May it please the court at all to wit.
It pleases the court. Get on with it. Whose versus whom?
The cosmos and all the spheres, systems, clusters, galaxies, orbits, planets, satellites, together with all species of animals, vegetables, and minerals appertaining thereto. Of all conditions of age, social standing, and sex. Versus the anonymous molecule hereinafter referred to as X.
What's the charge against said molecule?
Unwilling to be named. Rebelling when defined. Declining to be blamed. Objecting when assigned. Protesting when selected. Resisting an attack.
Oh.
Refusing to be directed. And talking back.
Most serious, most dangerous, so strange it's almost strangerous. Insidious, precarious, a shade below nefarious. The possibilities in sight are frightful, meaning full of fright, and rueful, meaning full of rue, and gruesome, meaning rather grue.
Providing, Your Honor, the charges are true.
Why, yes, they must be proven true.
Which is something we have yet to do.
Quite right, but who is asking you? Now, is the prosecutor here?
Present.
Well then, appear, appear. The trial's on, try not to miss it. Step up and state your case and be explicit.
May it please the court. This case involves a very small matter. By this I don't mean mere trivia or idle chatter, but a particle of matter best described as little.
Smaller than a jot?
Even smaller than a tittle.
Are you referring to molecule X?
Yex.
Then why don't you say so?
I will, if I may so. The point, Your Honor, is that should X be acquitted here, catastrophe will follow, since it must then be admitted here, that all control of elements has given way to anarchy, and every substance will, perforce, be jittery and panicky. Thus, when we wish a molecule to join up with some others to make a cop or a lemon drop or the Karamazov brothers, to be a fog or a catalog or a lawn to be idyllic on, a beagle or a bagel or a mountain made of silicon, they may refrain, they may desist, and if enough of them should do so, there'll never be another tenor singer like Caruso. No dog to bark, no lark to hark, no grand old man like Talleyrand, no bee will be, you'll see, no sea, no ostrich fan for Sally Rand.
It's staggering. It's awesome. The damage X could wreak by simply playing possum makes me rather weak. Clerk, order me a pony of spirits of ammonia.
Now. There you are. If X's rebellion is indulged, I think you'll find it only safe to say and fair to be divulged, there'll never be another atom of the element ammonia. So take that home and play it on Your Honor's own euphonium.
Youngster, I blast at you a disapproving snort. And warn you, one more phrase like that. Contempt of court! Now, who is here for the defense?
I am, Your Honor.
Well, commence.
I will do so. I do so. And now you see,
I
sir.
I see. Nothing of the sort. Who's paying you your fee, sir?
No one at all. The way it is with me, sir, I'm acting out of interest in civil liberties, sir.
What's liberty to do with it, if you will be so kind?
Just this. Where is the universal law books can you find? It's criminal for anything to be of open mind.
The precedent is ample.
It is. Let's have a sample.
Blackstone on the Elements. Case of bismuth versus molybdenum.
Oh, drat the books. Our legal forebears doubtless see all fibbed in them.
Hold on there, you. Why, you upstart. Is not the horse before the cart? Where would we be without tradition?
In some advanced, improved position.
What? What, young man? Are you a red? Have you been to the crimson bread?
Neither too crimson nor too purple.
Well, no whippersnapping twirple challenged me. What do you take me for?
A most distinguished expert on the law.
First sensible thing you've said today. Where were we in this trial, by the way?
On the right of X to have an open mind. Now, surely justice is not yet so blind as to be unfavorably disposed.
Toward openness of mind, my mind is closed.
Your Honor, this is scandal. This...
Now, see here, I can handle this. Let's have no more of your bold to-do. A molecule must do what it is told to do. Now, that's decided. Suppose we break for lunch. I'm famished. Had a tiring day. I sure would like to crunch a nice salad bowl of crispy, tangy hashish.
Your Honor, I cannot refrain from calling you a fascist.
Contempt of court! Clerk, find the counsel for defendant, please. He has the brass to charge the bench with having fascist tendencies. Ridiculous and ludicrous. Make it a heavy fine. How could I be a fascist? Why, I am so benign, I hardly ever beat my wife. My children bow to me. I am much admired by rattlesnakes, and birds of prey adore me. I'm tender, and I'm sensitive, and anti-insurrectionist. I wouldn't hurt a cobra, and I'm anti-vivisectionist.
I am sure that's absolutely true, and that you're not the sort who would deny a prisoner his right to speak in court. Your might is mixed with mercy, and wisdom's interfused. So how about a word or two from X, who is accused?
Oh, very well. Since your appeal is to the better side of me, let no one say my conduct here is prejudiced or snide of me. We'll hear from X, but make it short. Where is the little dope?
Right here, beneath the new electronic super microscope.
Swear him in.
Put your right hand on the atomic table and say as loud as you are able, I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and buzz fuzz the muzzawalla buzzawalla hut sat flugu bugu put put scuttle but nothing but the truth. So help me. I now testify.
What's that squeaking?
My client speaking.
Well, how do you expect me to understand?
There's an interpreter at hand.
Where? I don't see any.
Right at your elbow.
Oh, yes. Howdy do.
I'm very well, Bao.
Bao? Aren't you getting a bit famil?
I suppose I am, but please think nil of it.
Can you understand what the molecule says?
Yes. It's my business, isn't it?
A fey character.
Like in a film by Disney.
Disney's not involved in this.
Why isn't he?
I don't know. Where does all this lead?
Nowhere.
Then please proceed. To interpret X for the court of Lex. Lex is Latin for law, I guess, which shows I, too, enjoy access to more than one tongue. I'm a giant intellect. Now, let's hear from your client.
Proceed, if you will, Mr. Molecule. Let your story fairly leap from you. Come on, come on. We're waiting now. The court wants to hear a peep from you.
X says as follows. I cannot bring myself to be just anything that's asked of me. I cannot chide my inner soul. I must confide. I've set a goal. I've thought it through and cannot bear to be shampoo for oily hair. My spirit sings, my fiber spiels of nobler things and high ideals. I'm fairly bust my heart within if I am just an onion skin. I worry some what's drearier than to become a bacteria. And when I'm tried hard to obey, my conscience cried, but hold, but stay. A worm for bait, I have my pride. I vacillate, I can't decide. Though Hamlet had a hard time, why, he wasn't so sad as little I. You see my lot, it's not for me to be or not, but what to be. My plight inside is bona fide. I can't decide, I can't decide.
I've never been so touched or moved. I sniffle and I blubber. I thought my heart was made of steel, but it is made of rubber. Poor little thing, tormented so by dreams of the eugenic.
Oh, fiddlesticks. How fiddlesticks, this molecule is but a schizophrenic. How is it that in all the time since matter first appeared, each separate iota has loyally adhered to universal law without a solitary beef until this pipsqueak came along? Now suddenly there's grief. The heavens shake and earthquakes quake and oceans heave and slither and cats and dogs and acrobats are in a frightful dither. A timid snip has lost his grip and whines of its neurosis. If you condone this freak, you'll reek of moral halitosis. I strongly urge, Your Honor, purge X to its smallest decimal, or else the infinite will bow before the infinitesimal.
You're right. What was I thinking of to pity yon Schlemiel? I thought my heart was fairly soft, but it is made of steel. I shall not spoil this molecule by sparing it the rod, and so I sentence it to die before our firing squad. Perhaps a little torture first, like singeing at the stake, and drops of water on the head, and for variety's sake, a little twist of the garrote, a slice of the guillotine, and X shall mark the spot where X was boiled in Vaseline.
I ask this sentence to be appealed.
Impossible. Your client's fate is sealed.
Ah, no. The court's decision is far from ineluctable. I must remind you, my good sir, that matter's indestructible.
Gadzooks! It is! I had forgot we can't destroy a particle. It seems we're in the power of this clever young upstarticle.
The case is lost. I must withdraw. If punishment's not capital and X cannot be executed, I don't give a rap at all. We can't imagine it, for we'd be in a most infernal stew with cosmic checks and balances eternally askew.
Oh dear, oh dear. Vesmir, Vesmir. What will become of all of us? This little jerk and his strange quirk will surely be the fall of us.
Your Honor.
You mean me?
May I have a conference with you at the bench?
Of course.
May I suggest a means by which disaster be evaded? My client is no pighead and may likely be persuaded to join some element or other. It is not softly. It merely wishes to belong to something fairly lofty. Its point of view is forward. Its attitude is global. its heart is set on being part of something good and noble. So I suggest you demonstrate, and this will never hurt you, that being this or that or other has a point of virtue.
Well, how do you propose we do it?
I have a plan, and I was coming to it. Mm. Invite a representative of each important kingdom.
You mean like Dempsey for the ring or Artie Shaw for Swingdom?
No, but you are warm.
A lion for the jungle or an eagle for all wingdom?
Keep on. Remember, three of them and one for every kingdom.
Oh, I know. Animal and mineral and... I forgot the third.
The vegetable kingdom.
Why, yes, of course. Absurd. That's splendid. We could get them here, and each could make a pitch. And X could then make up his mind to which it wished to hitch. I'll call a recess in this trial while we round up a trio. Meanwhile, some music. Clerk?
Yes, sir?
Can you sing Sole Mio?
No, but the court musicians would be very glad to play for you.
Where's the conductor?
I'm right here.
Ah, is everything okay for you?
Oh, you bet. Shall I begin, Your Honor, with a prelude by Stravinsky or toccata for the G string by the famous Brothers Minsky?
Have you anything around that Dmitri Shostakovich wrote?
Oh, yes. Passacaglia. And I'm sure that you will love each note.
I've changed my mind. I'll have a slug of music by Lynn Murray, the one he calls Verklärte Nacht von Chicken mit dem Curry. Is that title correct?
Yeah, I fear it is.
Okay, then. Play it.
Here it is.
Hear ye. The spokesman for the vegetable kingdom will rise and address the court concerning the advantages to Molecule X of joining this classification. With handy allusions to paleontology, plant psychology, stems and flowers, roots and fruits, and outstanding examples of horticulture and botany, if he's got any.
I doubt that X will ever see an atom lovely as a tree. Why, nothing is quite the charm of the most ordinary palm. We've coffee beans and turpentine and grapes that make imported wine. And as for molds and types of fungus, oh, we have some noted ones among us. Penicillin is a spore noble beyond metaphor. Life is earnest, life is sweet for the common sugar beet. Cotton, spinach, hemp, and hop, one could never really stop singing vegetary praise for years and months and weeks and days.
X says the trees are chopped for wood, and that he sees no special good in being a beet, which people eat. Hmm. X says a palm, though fine in Maine, can come to harm in a hurricane. The grapes are cursed since drink is evil, and cotton is worse for the boll weevil. Hmm. X does not wish to look for trouble. It's not his dish, the vegetable.
For a molecule that's supposed to be meek, the choosy Mr. X has a lot of cheek. Step down, vegetable, let mineral speak.
The spokesman for the mineral kingdom will address the court concerning the advantages to molecule X of joining this classification. With allusions to metallurgy, gypsum, filiform silver, motor cars, nickel bars, pickle jars, and manganese.
Please. Oh, sorry.
Now, the way that X can best ensure his choice of substance will endure is to stop his flopping about and settle down to being a respectable metal. Oh, fiddle-dee-dee and fiddle-dee-dum. Yum-yum, oh boy, aluminum. If he likes the work of Byron, he can be the iron in irony.
It sounds to me like pure unalloyed non sequitur.
If he wishes to be a worker, he can serve in a column of mercury. If he'd rather be gay and giddy some, there's radium, uranium, iridium. Oh, tantalum, tungsten, talcum, tin, ipsy, pipsy, bitters and gin, alto sax and carpet tax, rackety racks, barax, barax. Merrily, barely, chalabi chin, triple eyed Zeke, and kaolin.
Are these football yells necessary?
Yes, sir, very.
What do they mean?
Well, amphipolysphene and pyrexene, being amygdaloidally idiochromatic, may create a stalactitic static affecting the scalenohedral speed.
That clears it up very well indeed. Proceed.
If X wants glamour, need he be told of silver, platinum, and gold? And then the safest job on any planet is to be a nice, strong rock of granite. If he likes good cooking, a dinner will boil very nice over mineral oil. Does he cry to be a wagon hitched to a star? Then apply to be a Hollywood motor car. I could pour mineral lore before you forever in a day, if it wouldn't bore you.
X says he, that any jury will find mercury somewhat mercurial. Iron gets rusty, bare rocks too new, talc is too dusty, oil is crude. The automobile is not his bent, one elliptical wheel means an accident. Gold you can keep, he simply boxed it lying deep beneath Fort Knox.
I've never heard such utterly rash, hypercritical balderdash. If I weren't so stately and dignified, I'd take that molecule outside and bop him right in his little beezer. What does he think he is, Little Caesar? Brr. Let the animal kingdom present its spokesman. Come on, where is the gent?
Right here. But, Your Honor...
All right, begin.
It's a her.
Never mind. Swear him in. Swear him in.
The spokesman for the animal kingdom, etc. Species of bird, bee, dog, flea, hen, men. Does solemnly square, etc. In the name of the llama, new... Orc, Yak, Kangaroo, Slippery Dan, Charlie Chan, The Common Man, and so forth, that he, or she, will please go forth and testify to the legal cause.
Thank you. I gladly take the floor.
Rather pretty. eh bien, alors?
I could fascinate X with the mystery of our considerable natural history and tell him of fame of each colorful name.
Oh, go on. I'm goose pimply and blistery.
I could tell of a bird named the Smew, and another eclipt, Urubu, of Zigatide Zo, and of Zingle Row.
And a fish that is called In Canoe.
Quite true.
And a monkey that's called Wanderoo.
Quite true.
Oh, I just love to listen to you.
I could tell of the Vinegaroon, the Squacko, the Gwendu, Baboon, the Annabelle Bongo, the crow known as Drongo.
Will you join me for lunch one day soon?
For the record, may I ask whether these names are real or fictionary?
Don't interrupt. They're all in the dictionary.
Now, the Capacari has a whistle distinct from the Ling and Dick Sissel, the Zalo and Zivet and Tarek of Tibet.
I cling to your words like a thistle.
I urge X to join the Tatuman or some other nice animal clan, like the beautiful Kuti or charming Agouti.
But what of the species of man?
Oh, that's another subject entirely. I do not recommend that X get involved in the affairs of mankind.
Hmm. Is that because you believe in the principle of matter over man's mind?
No, but being human would surely hex a sensitive molecule like X.
Just how do you mean, Queen?
Well, it's not so easy to be a common man. No matter how much you work and plan, it's still a neat trick to live the span commonly allotted to the common man. A wandering breeze will affect your pump. If not a measle, then a mump. You can pull a tendon, get roundly hissed, or have to depend on an analyst. You can get ptomaine or be undersold. Then there's rain in Spain and the common cold. A review can stink. You can miss a guess or be told how to think by the yellow press.
Did I tell you? I greatly admire your dress.
No. There's water on the knee and athlete's toes, the doctor's fee and the running nose, aching bursitises, rashes and rickets, colitis and worsitises, and parking tickets.
Not in this court.
You could get diabetes or caught in the rain. You could run out of Wheaties or into a train.
Not in this court.
You can get neurasthenia. A blizzard can chill you. Your wife can be menia. A dentist drill you. A plaintiff can sue you. A bite give malaria. If no lover woo you, alas, miseraria.
Legal embroilments, just let me take care of ya.
A fascist will fight you. And then there is asthma. Vampires can bite you and whine on your plasma. You can be badly reared and flunk out in Latin or tangle your beard in spaghetti au gratin. You can get a flat tire, drop teeth in the drain, or suffer a dire escutcheon stain. You can drown in the Dnieper or suffer the bends. You can wind up a leper and lose all your friends. Oh. You can settle in Philly, or step in a pail, or feel willy-nilly, and cease to inhale.
How morbid, depressing, in fact, suicidal. By the way, have you ever an hour that's idle?
Your Honor, my client has something to say.
I could meet you. What's that? About X again, eh?
He's ready, I said.
Well, let him go ahead.
X says as follows, I'm glad to know the awful truth. Man has such woe, forsooth, forsooth. Yet what he's done, proud hands can clap. He invented the pun and beer on tap. He flies the air just like a smew and swims for fare like the inconnu. He has a soul, he reads Descartes. Like me, his goal is a thing apart. He's learned to kill the harmful bug by serum, pill, and sulfur drug. He beats the band and goes to school to understand the molecule. In face of odds, he makes his way, gives birth to quads, builds TVA. Displays his charms, plays blindfold chess, listen to Brahms and CBS. The common guy both thinks and feels. Nothing's too high for his ideals. Though it cost him sadly to put down jerks, he's not done badly. Look at his works. For all his pains, we owe him thanks, and I do gladly join the ranks.
Ah.
The human flock has golden fleece, grace to its stock, and lasting peace.
Oh, splendid. What a moving speech. I had thought X a worm, a leech, but now I see he's a regular fellow.
He's twanged me so, I quiver like jello. Oh, joy, oh, rapture, oh, fields of clover.
Looks to me like the trial is over.
Quite so. My dear ex, forgive the digression, but I'm sure you'll be happy in your chosen profession. And as for you, Miss Anima, you are great. It's slightly extra legal, but have you a date for later in the evening? Do you like to dance? Have you any marked tendency toward romance?
I have. But what about the wife you seldom beat and the children you have mentioned who grovel at your feet?
Ho, ho. Mere rhetoric and figmentary frippery. The legal mind behaves this way. It's very smooth and slippery when arguing. I have no wife or any such a fixture.
In that case, I will marry you, as in a Class B picture. We'll create a happy ending plus two children of each sex.
To be a part of one of them, shall we invite friend X?
Magnificent idea, that. Is our future child agreed?
X says indeed, and asks you speed your visit to the reverend, so he can have a life to lead and bring this to a clever end.
Hooray! I thought it'd never end. Will the court musicians kindly advance to the mic and play a wedding dance? And then, after that, please segue and sally into a sort of, kind of, finale.
You have been listening to The Undecided Molecule, a rhymed fantasy written by Norman Corwin. Today's program was produced by Walden Hughes. And directed by Norman Corwin and Michael James Casey. Appearing in The Undecided Molecule were Phil Proctor as the judge, Richard Hurd as the interpreter, Dick Van Patten as the defense counsel, Melinda Peterson as the prosecutor, Norman Lloyd as the clerk, Janet Waldo as Miss Anima, Ivan Curry as the vegetable spokesman, Marvin Kaplan as the mineral spokesman, Tommy Cook as the VP in charge of physiochemistry and the conductor. Our sound effect artist was Tony Palermo. Our sound engineer was Nico Palermo. The music, taken from the original broadcast, was composed by Carmen Dragon and conducted by Lud Gluskin. This is Ivan Curry speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Let's do it again. Yeah. Let's do it again.